Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life. Good afternoon. Welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for joining us. I'd like to say hello to the people in the chat room and remind you that if you are listening and you want to jump into the chat room and participate in the conversation, you'll need to, I believe, sign up for a Blog Talk Radio membership. It's really quick and it's free. You just sign up the same kind of way you would do for Facebook. So if you want to get in on the discussion in the chat room, please do that. Or you can always call in and ask a question. The number is 1-347-202-0129. That's 347-202-0129. And today's guest is Dr. Shefali Sabari, and she is the author of The Conscious Parent. It's coming out this fall, and we're already hearing so much about this book. She had a bestseller in India, and after the last show that we had with Dr. Shefali, I've had emails and messages from people who know her work from India, and it's changed their lives. So I'm really excited that her work is going to be so widely accessible to people in North America now in the English language. And so thank you so much, Dr. Shefali, for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, so tell us about what is The Conscious Parent?
The book The Conscious Parent is really a book that was inspired by my own personal journey as a mother, as well as through my professional counseling work that I do with parents and families. When I wrote it, it was in response to a void that I was observing in the market of material out there for parents. You know, there's so many books that focus on the inner workings of the child and the developmental psychology of the child, and yet there are few that focus on the tremendous psychological, spiritual, and emotional transformation that parenting is on the parent. And it is here that I hope this book will set itself apart from others, because it truly focuses on the spiritual evolution of the parent. You know, on the raising of the parent, if you will, rather than simply the raising of the child. Because I believe that once we begin to turn the spotlight on the inner growth and conscious awakening of the parent, then the entire parental premise undergoes a shift. No longer is the parenting journey about parent to child or parent versus child, but instead it now becomes about the spiritual communion of parent with child. So it's the shift of the dynamic of from a hierarchical place of control and power and domination that we parents often execute our responsibilities from, and shifting to a more empowered, mutually restorative process where the parent learns as much, if not more, from the child's presence than the child does.
Well, that's so beautiful, and it warms my heart just to even think about that, because when you see a child that's new to this world, they are experiencing life from a completely different perspective. And I think as adults and parents, we get set in our ways and how we think things should be done through the way our parents raised us, the way society raised us. And so when we're able to change our perspective and see it more from the view of the child, it opens up a whole new world.
Yeah, and not only do we do our children a great service when we see them for who they are and see them in their true, for their true nature, but this seeing then allows us to get in touch with our own true nature. And I think we forget that parenting is truly a circular dynamic, not only, you know, a linear one where it's parent to child, but then the line kind of extends back to the parent's own inner being and kind of completes the parent's own potential and allows them to reach a higher state of consciousness.
Beautiful. And now I want to get, before we get deeper into the book, I do want to get a little bit of clarification, because I noticed that with some parent-child dynamics, particularly if the parent has had emotional trauma in their past as a child, many times it ends up being the parent or the child almost having to take care of the parent. And that's
yes.
not what we're talking about here, is it?
Oh, no. The Conscious Parent, the book, truly illuminates how there are certain responsibilities we have as parents, and we must adhere to them. So this is not about relinquishing our responsibilities and allowing our children to raise us in the material sense. It is instead talking about how we are afforded the opportunity to raise ourselves emotionally and spiritually through the relationship we have with our children. So I understand how this could be mistaken to assume that our children will raise us. This concept of consciousness in the parenting relationship speaks to how we can elevate our level of present consciousness through the relationship we have with our children, through the reflection they afford us. We can then elevate our own sense of emotionality. You know, our children are always mirroring back our internal state. So if we had the wherewithal, the awareness, and the willingness to look at the reflection that they are giving us of our own internal state, then it is here that we will be given a mirror, and through this mirror allow ourselves, if we choose to, elevate our present level of consciousness. You know, when our children are anxious, we are given the opportunity to ask, how have I contributed to my child's anxiety? Or if our children are defiant, we are then allowed to ask, is it me who's created this within my child? And it is in this questioning, you know, how have I contributed to my child's present level of emotion, that we then get the opportunity to surrender to a higher state of consciousness ourselves.
Oh, and I hear someone in the background right now.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
It is a child in the agency I work at. But
it's a show about parenting, so it's okay. And so, Dr. Shefali, what kind of impact do you want your book, The Conscious Parent, to have on the world?
You know, what I hope that this book will give its readership is a renewed perspective of the parenting relationship. Our children are paying a heavy price when we parents lack consciousness. They get overindulged or over-medicated, and many of them are unhappy. We see this in our own peer level age, you know, in our age group today. Divorce is at an all-time high. Our ability to tolerate intimacy as adults is waning rapidly. So all of this stems from our own childhoods. Being unconscious ourselves, we then give to our children. We project this unconsciousness onto our children. We give them our unresolved needs, our unmet expectations, our frustrated dreams, and we raise our children to be overly anxious, to be addicted to a fast-paced technological world, to be obsessed with the material aspects of life. You know, if we look around us, most of us are unhappy. Something is drastically amiss. You know, there's so much violence in the world today. Our prisons are, you know, overflowing. So we have to begin to ask the question, what is the cause? And while not everything stems from the parent-child relationship, a lot of our problems do. So what I hope that this book will allow parents is to have the concrete support it takes to understand how exactly it is that they can change their children's future. You know, we parents have a tremendous power given to us, and we must not abuse this power. We must use the power we've been given to elevate our own and our children's consciousness. So I hope that this book will give parents concrete steps to allow them to shift their families away from states of anxiety, towards states of increased joy and inner connectivity and awareness. Because this book really, you know, step by step shows parents how they themselves can raise their own level of awareness and mindfulness. And in just in this awareness and increased presence, not only does their own growth happen, but so does that of their children.
Beautiful. And I just want to let everyone know in the chat room, if you are wanting to participate in the chat, again, I reminded you at the beginning, but if you're just tuning in, if you want to participate in the actual chat room, you do need to probably sign up for Blog Talk Radio. It is free. You can get a username. And if you would like to ask Dr. Shefali a question, the number to call is 347-202-0129. That's 347-202-0129. We are talking with Dr. Shefali Sabari, and she is the author of The Conscious Parent. She's also a clinical psychologist, and so she's not just pulling this out of thin air. Dr. Shefali, you mentioned that you wrote this book after your own personal experiences as a parent, and also I'm sure that some of your education as a psychologist must come into play with this.
Definitely. The way I like to work with people and the way that this book was written was truly an integration of both my experience as a clinical psychologist and my studies in developmental psychology and my actual clinical experience with people and families, but also I also integrate Eastern mindfulness. So what I was hoping to offer in this book was a true integration of practices from the East and the West, because I believe people should be worked with holistically, especially families. And the East-West approach really works well in allowing both families to understand their issues through a Western psychological perspective, but then also work on their issues in a concrete fashion through mindfulness and through the building of awareness and through concrete tools which allow them to stay in a state of non-reactivity, to stay in a state of present moment awareness. So the Eastern philosophies really do allow that to happen in the present moment. So I really find that the integration of the Eastern Western practices helps families to shift from, you know, mental states of anxiety and enter and surrender into more soulful states of awareness.
Thank you. And Dr. Shefali, we're talking about mindfulness here. So can you tell us from your perspective and from the perspective of the conscious parent, what is mindfulness?
Mindfulness is the introduction of awareness. And what is awareness, one might ask? Awareness implies a connectivity to one's inner state and to one's external environment. So as a parent, we're constantly inundated by the data our children are offering to us, either the data through a tantrum or through a request or through a whining episode or an unending request for this and that or the other. Not only are we being faced with our children's needs, we ourselves are constantly overpressured and overburdened by the realities of life. So how does a busy parent negotiate one's own career, you know, taking care of the family, taking care of the house, and then tending to the child in the most enlightened manner as possible? It is here that mindfulness offers concrete support and tools. It allows parents to understand that unless they stay connected to their own sense of inner wholeness, inner integration, balance, and stillness, they will not be able to fully respond to their children with an awakened awareness. But instead, they will respond to their children through their own harried sense of anxiety or preconditioning and their own sense of ego. Mindfulness allows parents to step aside from the doing that we constantly are over preoccupied with, their sense of ego, their sense of the shoulds, and their sense of perfection, and enter into a state of true relatedness with their children. Mindfulness offers parents the ability to take that pause, that vital pause, that space between thought and reaction. You know, and it can be spoken about, but really mindfulness needs to be cultivated on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis, through meditation, through Tai Chi, through yoga, through any activity that allows parents to get in touch with who it is they are, so that they can then get in touch with who their children are. You know, so often we parent our children just from our own pedestals of knowing, and we rarely step off these pedestals and enter into our children's state of knowing. Well, once we do that, and once we attune to our children's true inner state, we can find that our children can lead the way. Not that they know everything about life. No, we definitely have to, you know, teach them containment and discipline and responsibility. But our children really can pay attention to who it is they are and lead the way, at least in allowing us to help them develop their fullest potential. So mindfulness helps us to attune to our own inner state so that we can then better accept our children for who it is they truly are.
So, Dr. Shefali, I'm curious for your opinion on this. A lot of people believe that when children come into this world, they are much more strongly connected to God, to oneness, to the universe, whatever it is that you want to call that experience,
yes,
than we are, because we've been conditioned to be disconnected.
Yes.
And so is that your perspective of how we can learn from our children, because they are just naturally so much more connected to that?
Definitely. Our children really come brimming with such a high energetic connection to their inner sense of self. They have this gift, and they come filled with gifts to give us in the same way. Yet somehow, in the distorted parent-child relationship we somehow seem to be having with our children, we take them away from this sense of inner connectivity and essential living, essence-filled living, and bring them to our world, which is preoccupied with mental doing, with anxiety, with material obsessions. And it is this distortion that I hope this book will bring parents out of and back into connecting with their children and their children's natural way of being. You know, if we see infants offer us just the greatest opportunity to dip into that state of beingness and connection and relating non-verbally and through a sense of silence and stillness. But as they develop language, and as we can then communicate with them through language, we take them out of their bodies and into the world of mental thinking and intellectualization. But if we allowed our infants to remind us and keep us on that non-verbal level, on that being-to-being level, and if we held on to it throughout our children's lives, we would find that both our children and us would stay in that state of inner connectivity much more than we are doing right now.
Beautiful. I remember one of the questions on the interview that we did here on Namaste Radio with Eckhart Tolle was how to raise children, and one of the suggestions he gave was, when children are very young, and I mean, you know how a child can look at a flower or a bug and just kind of stare at it and fully drink in that experience. And then we say, oh, that's an ant.
Right.
That's a tulip. And we put a label on it. And so he, obviously children are going to learn the labels for these things, but he also suggests that we allow them to have a chance to experience those things and not be constantly telling them, well, this is that, this is this.
Yes, but you know, we as adults have become so increasingly disconnected from our own sense of inner wonder and awe and divinity that it's no wonder that we, as soon as we can, take our children out of that state and bring them into our world of anxiety and stress and overburdened sense of perfection and dominance. So we do that because we ourselves are starving within. And that's why the book, The Conscious Parent, is an important one, I believe, in today's day and age, because it will remind parents that they owe it to themselves and to their children to regain that sense of inner abundance that they once had as children. And even if we didn't get it in our own childhoods, we can redevelop it today, and our children can show us the way if we're willing to listen and follow.
That's really exciting. And so what are some of the basic steps? I know, first of all, your book is just full of fantastic ideas, and there's something like 17 chapters full of information. But what are some of the main, perhaps most simple ways that a parent can connect with their child and experience that wonder?
Well, I think firstly is the willingness to step up to the plate and own the responsibility, accept the responsibility that our children, in their emotional state, are mirroring our emotional state. So we need to own and accept that responsibility that we have a lot to do with how our children are faring. And we must take this responsibility seriously. Once we begin to accept that, perhaps then we'll be willing to study ourselves more with greater awareness and watch how it is exactly that we project our own unmet needs and our own egoic desires onto our children. So, you know, parents always come to me looking for that golden key to give them so that they can then go back home and voila, their relationship with their children will be transformed, only later to learn that this is a commitment they have to make to parent their children with mindfulness on a moment-to-moment basis. And this means that they must embark upon a path which involves introspective study. You know, this is serious work we do as parents. It's not easy, and parenting isn't simply about transporting our children to the best schools and then hoping they get into a Harvard, a Princeton, or a Yale. Parenting our children for the challenges of tomorrow means that we truly need to make them emotionally literate and resilient. And for that to happen, this means that we need to begin making ourselves emotionally resilient and literate. We need to begin to understand our own inner workings on a moment-to-moment level. And this is where the path begins for mindful and conscious parenting. It truly begins with the self and a commitment to the self that each day I will sit in stillness in a space of awakened receptivity and understand who it is I am and what it is that I still need to work on within myself so I don't put this on my children, especially when our relationship has become one of dysfunction and conflict. You know, it is here that we often blame our children. We judge them constantly for the ways that we have yet to grow. And if we parents began to take responsibility and shift the relationship away from simply blaming our children and judging our children and pushing our children and turn it inward and begin to ask ourselves, how can I push myself? How can I begin to move myself from a place of stuckness to flow? Then the parenting dynamic begins to shift.
So Dr. Shefali, you're talking about meditation, and do you recommend, I mean, it sounds like the best thing to do would be to take a few moments and sit in silence first thing in the morning before you're even bombarded with screaming children.
Yes, I mean, waking up and starting the day with a sense of attunement would be fantastic, but I know that many parents out there are so inundated with chores and careers that it's so hard for them to find any moment of stillness. So what I recommend to people is not to set themselves for great expectations and to meditate or sit in stillness for an hour a day, but simply to begin for a moment here or a moment there, or the next time they have the urge to yell at their child or to react in blindness, to just take that pause, that simple pause, not to lose the feeling. You know, parents often complain to me, oh, how can I not feel? Well, this is not about not feeling. It's just about losing the reaction, the blind reaction. If we can just begin to lose that instinctual, impulsive, blind reactivity we have to our children and just begin to take a moment before we react that in itself has the power to move mountains. You know, so just that simple pause and that willingness to question, do I really need to react in this way right now? What's going on in me that I need to look at rather than just blindly vomit onto my child, my feelings? This questioning has the power to create awareness. So we can begin moment by moment, you know, just a moment here, a moment there, has the power to shift relationships.
And Dr. Shefali, I think that might tie into my next question. So many parents, especially as kids get a little bit older into their teen years and they're starting to break out into their being their own separate people, especially if we haven't been conscious throughout those years, they're really trying to find themselves. And communication can become very difficult. What are some ways that you can break from that cycle of the two parties, the parent and the child, just not being able to mesh their understanding, and it just ends up in a fight?
You know, the parent-teen relationship is often ridden with conflict because now our children have developed a sense of who it is they truly are, or they're stepping into themselves more than they have in the past. You know, where before a parent might have gotten away with control and domination and hierarchical parenting, now in the teen years, the parent will find that none of that really works. And a renewed sense of the parenting relationship needs to take place. And often parents are not willing to make that shift from being in the center of the stage to now being one of the supporting cast. Parents are just completely not ready to make that shift. They're not willing to give up the tentacles of power and control they've had, or they're not able to because it's happened either prematurely or they just don't have the tools to. Well, our teenagers are not going to wait around. So that is why the parenting relationship at adolescence usually takes a downturn and conflict abounds. So I often encourage parents to understand the developmental needs of teenagers. You know, teens now don't need us to be heavily influential. Our years of giving our advice, our counsel, and being heavily influential have now passed. And we parents need to understand that. Now we need to walk with our children and not push them from behind anymore. You know, our greatest privilege will be if our teenagers talk to us. But they will only talk to us if we are willing to shift from the heavy-handed parenting we may have been used to and really enter into a state of affinity, attunement, and kinship with our children. Teenagers don't need us to be in a state of domination and control over them anymore. Now they need a different kind of parenting. They need one where we're willing to be kindred spirits with them. And parents often don't know how to do that. And I encourage parents to look at their own lives as teenagers and remember what they needed from their own parents, you know. And many of them will tell me, well, I needed my parent to be my friend now more than at any other time. But my parent was unable to and continued just being the heavy-handed parent that they had been used to. Many of our problems with teenagers really arise because we as parents are not willing to surrender to our children's sense of mastery, their wisdom, and we don't trust our own parenting. You know, I often tell parents, if you've raised your children well, then this is the time to now let go and see how our children live out our lessons. But we're often too anxious to do so. So this is why many... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So this is why, you know, teenagers drift away from parents, and this is why the rift between the parent-teenager becomes wider and wider.
Well, last night, Dr. Shefali, I was speaking with a friend who is a parent of a teen, and he is the he doesn't have custody, so he's been sort of the part-time parent.
Right.
And now the child is now 17,
right,
and is, of course, forging his own way in the world, and the parent is feeling really left behind and almost depressed, like, oh, my kid doesn't want me around anymore.
Right, right.
And I mean, this is the experience of a teenager. They're going to do that, right? I mean, so how do how do parents deal with realizing that they're no longer the center of their child's universe anymore?
Yeah, I can't tell you, Marie, how many parents come to me really in tears at this sense of what they feel as a divorce. You know, their teenagers kind of just leave them high and dry and abandon them, or that's how they feel. And I have true empathy for these parents, because here was the parent who was so used to, you know, as you said, being the center, the central person in their child's life, the one their child was running to, and this love, obsessive love that their children had for them now suddenly fades away. And for the parent, it seems completely like abandonment, and as if it happens overnight. But what I try to communicate to parents is that it didn't happen overnight, and that their child is not rejecting them, although it feels like a rejection. I tell them, don't take it personally. This is developmentally normal. You know, the more the child rejects you, A, is an indication of the fact that you had an overbearing sense of control over your child, and that needs to stop. So this is a signal and a wake-up call for the parent to change the parenting technique or the dynamic. But also, this is natural. As the child grows in autonomy and increases his or her sense of dependence on his or her sense of affiliation with peers, this is going to happen. So not to take it personally. Rejection is often healthy and necessary for the child to catapult into adulthood and find his or her own sense of self. So parents often take this to mean that, you know, they're not good enough, and it hardly means this. What it could mean is, as I said before, a wake-up call to change one's sense of control over one's child and enter into a sense of communion, so to shift from domination to kindred kinship. So this is a shift that often needs to be made, but more than this, it could just mean that the child is growing up and is healthy and has his or her own peer group to turn to now, which is very, very normal.
And Dr. Safali, also I think that especially in the teen years, but even early on, many parents have a view of what they want their child to grow up to be, and so they kind of try and jam them into that mold and mold them into that person that they want them to be, when really the child just wants to express him or herself. For example, you may have a boy, and a father may have this manly perception,
right,
of what he wants his young,
right,
strapping boy to be, and maybe,
right,
he's more artistic.
Right.
And so how do parents come to terms with the individuality of their own child?
Well, this is really the core concern, right? It's the rift we have between our expectations for who our children should be and then who they actually are. You know, it is this difference in expectation between our own fantasy and reality that is the hardest for parents to come to terms with. And this is why I see parents, why parents send their children to see therapists. It's not because the child necessarily is dysfunctional, but because the parent can't come to grips with the fact that the child is not meeting their expectations. So I start off in helping parents by helping them see that their own ego, their own desires for who their child should be, is actually interfering with who their child actually is, and is actually going to be an obstacle to allowing their children to develop to their fullest potential. So once I show parents that their own egoic desires, their own fantasies, their own preconditioning of what a man should be, what a son should be, what a daughter should be, is coming in the way of their children reaching their fullest potential, then parents are willing to make a shift. You know, we do our children the greatest disservice when we operate from our own agenda rather than from truly communing with who our children are. Because when we don't do this, our children are constantly going to feel lesser than, because they're never going to meet our expectations. They're never going to feel like they fully have pleased us. And our children should never even have to feel like they have to please us, because they don't. You know, our children have the right to live out their own destiny and enact their own inner blueprint in the manner that they choose. Now, parents often misconceive this to mean, oh, so we should just let our children run helter-skelter. And this is not what I mean. Conscious parenting is not about being permissive. In fact, it's about being truly responsible and responsive to our children's needs. So once we parents truly see who our children are at their true core state, you know, truly assess their strengths and their limitations. This is not about not seeing our children's limitations. In fact, it's about fully accepting our children's limitations and their strengths. Then we as parents can guide them in the manner that they need to be guided in. So this is not about not giving consequences to our children or not calling them to task when they have run, you know, off the path. It is all about that, but it's more than that. It's not just about discipline or reinforcement. It's about the entire relationship that we have with our children. And the place to start is within the parent. The parent has to take the first steps on working on their own inner agenda and recalibrate their expectations. And if they have a son who is autistic, then they need to really let go of their own expectations of their son being this typical traditional, you know, football star and attune to who their child truly is.
Beautifully said. And Dr. Shefali, it looks like we have a caller on the line, I believe calling from Skype. Are you ready to take a call?
Sure.
Wonderful. Okay, so...
Hello.
Hi, Jake. You're on the air.
Hi, yes. I want to talk. My brother, he's kind of autistic. And, you know, sometimes he acts really weird. I mean, we all know it's a mental problem, right?
Okay, so you're saying like autism, not art, but autism?
No, autism, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Well, keep on going, please.
Well, autism, you know, if you do research on the internet, is not simply a mental problem. It is a developmental disability where children truly have a hard time emotionally integrating themselves and regulating themselves. So there is treatment out there for autistic-related disabilities, and perhaps if you did... you know, speak with a support group or go to centers that offer support for autism-related disabilities, you will find that there's professional help out there to help with the issues that you're talking about.
The earlier that you are able to intervene with a child who is having
yes.
symptoms of the autistic spectrum,
right.
Can actually, if you intervene early enough, you can really have... serious positive impact on a child's life.
Absolutely, you know, and people who suffer from autistic-related disabilities have tremendous potential that often goes untapped because people are not aware of the research and treatment out there. But there's tremendous work being done to help people with these disabilities and tap into their strengths and nurture them. And not unlike the rest of the population, treatment for autism, again, focuses on what the child can offer and how can we as trained professionals or caring adults do to tap that potential and bring it to the fore. And every child has that, you know, autistic related or not. Every child has something to offer, but we parents, because we're so conditioned to what we think is appropriate and normal, we often fail to recognize the strengths that our children offer us because it doesn't look like what we think it should look like.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And I just want to, we're coming close to the end of the show. I know that we have a caller who's going to be calling in shortly to speak about breath work, and which is also a great way to become present. So I want to focus a little bit more on your book. And what would you say is the number one or maybe the top two points that people really need to get from your book, The Conscious Parent?
Well, the first, you know, most important premise of the book is that the parenting journey is as much, if not more, about the parent's evolution than it is the child's. So we walk into the parenting journey, we become parents, you know, fully excited and overly eager to turn our children into these adults we imagine them becoming. You know, we have great fantasies, great expectations. We study every book out there on how to raise the perfect, happiest baby. But little do we realize that there will be no happy baby or competent adult or emotionally resilient adult unless there is an emotionally connected parent. So when parents choose to do something to, quote unquote, fix their child, they must first take the steps to work on who it is they are. And this is not to say that the problem lies within the parents, but the solution definitely does. And the first few steps parents can take towards this journey is an opened awareness and a receptivity to looking within themselves and becoming more mindful of the way in which they interact with their children, the language they use, their triggers. Why is it that they get triggered in the way that they do? The ways in which they resolve conflict, the areas of their children's development that they stress on and those that they ignore. Are they pushing their children too much? Are they really listening to who it is their children are? You know, many times we treat our friends better than we do our children. You know, we will yell at our children in a second when we would never dare yell at a friend. Why is this? You know, why do we treat our neighbors and strangers and peers and colleagues better than we do our children? In fact, our children deserve as much, if not more, respect from us. And we don't give them this. We just don't have the time because we believe they are our minions, if you will, or our little puppets to do as we tell them to. You know, just the other day I was at a Home Depot at 10 at night, and I saw two young children being towed around amid the wood and the lumber, and they were cranky and upset. And the parents, instead of looking at their watch and seeing that, you know, it was really unreasonable to take children to a Home Depot at that hour, I saw them getting impatient with the children and yelling at their children. And this is how we you know, keep chipping away at our children's spirit by truly not attuning to who it is they are, their needs, and how best to give them what it is they need to flourish. We keep putting them into our worlds, you know, and treating them as mini adults when they're not. And this is how the rift between parent and child becomes wider and wider and wider. And then finally, at adolescence, it hits its peak and leaves parents reeling and scrambling for therapy and medication. But really, it all stems from the disconnection we parents have, A, with ourselves, and B, with our children. So this is really the place to start, within the parent-child relationship and within the parent himself or herself.
So Dr. Shefali, I'm going to recommend to anyone who is a parent and anyone who's planning to be a parent to get your book, Conscious Parenting, read it and experience it. But I'm wondering about at what stage is it, some people might say, oh, well, my child is 17, it's too old for me to even bother with this conscious parenting.
Right.
What would you say to someone who believes that?
Well, you know, just like there is no perfect place where parenting ends, you know, parenting never ends. Hopefully, we are always in a state of connection with our children through their adulthood and when they become parents themselves. So just like parenting never ends, consciousness never reaches a perfect destination. So there's always room for increased consciousness. And we owe it to ourselves and to our children to never stop the journey, to never stop attempting to reach greater states of wholeness, integration, and purpose. And our children will learn from my example, be it at 15, be it at 5, or be it at 50. So it really is the attitude we parents have. You know, does our life stop just because our children turn 17, or does our life stop when we turn 70? It just depends on the attitude we have to life. If we have a sense of life as a continually evolving process where consciousness just keeps becoming better and better, then it doesn't matter if we've, quote-unquote, missed the boat. There is no boat to miss. You know, consciousness is about a journey, and relating with our children will always be an opportunity that we can keep working on. You know, the door is always open. It's just our willingness to pry it open. Sometimes it's hard to open. It's just our willingness to open it and walk through it with determination. You know, we can't give up. We can never give up on our own consciousness or on the potential to connect to our children. So even if I throw out a sense of hope to even that parent who simply has lost all sense of hope or connection with their children, to say it's never late. It just never is late, because a consciousness can always be rekindled and a sense of relatedness with our children can always be established. Our children are thirsty. You know, I work with adults in therapy who are just waiting for their parents to change in their dynamic. You know, I have a woman right now who's in her 60s who still goes through conflict with her mother, who's in her late 80s, and is still yearning for that sense of connectivity. So even that 80-year-old mother could turn things around and reconnect with her 60-year-old and create greater, you know, connection and relationship for the future. Children are always thirsty. I just believe that, and I send out a sense of hope to all parents who want to rekindle their relationship with their children.
Wonderful. Well, I was waiting for Judith Kravitz to call in, but it looks like we have two callers, so I'm wondering if one is Judith and one is a caller. So I'm going to try and see if we
sure.
can ask who is the caller with the question. And Judith, if you're on the line, please hold tight and we'll be with you in a moment. So hi, from area code 347, who am I speaking with? Okay, it seems like a crazy day for prank calls. don't know what's going on. I guess people with not a lot to do on a Tuesday afternoon. So it looks like it must be Judith sitting on the other number on the air. So I'm going to ask you, Dr. Shefali, what you would like to leave us with today.
Just the invitation that there is a way for all families to really move from a state of disconnection or anxiety or obsession over looks and success and wealth, and really to enter into a state of communion with each other. And I ask all parents to open themselves up to this invitation, and hopefully the book, The Conscious Parent, will allow them to engage with themselves and their families and their children with a renewed sense of purpose and direction.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Dr. Shefali. And your book is coming out this fall. Now, on namastepublishing.com, they are taking pre-orders if you do want to be first to get this book. Do you know when the book is actually coming out?
Yes. The release date is October 15th, but as you said, it's available for pre-order at the Namaste Publishing website.
Okay, wonderful. And so that is namastepublishing.com. You can search for it by searching, browsing by author. And I've also put a link to the pre-order page here on the Blog Talk Radio page for this episode. It's down at the bottom of the description. So if you would like to become a conscious parent, please do check that out and click on the link so you can pre-order Conscious Parents. Thank you so much, Dr. Shefali, for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Have a wonderful day. Be well.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I'm hoping that Judith Kravitz is sitting on the line to tell us about her upcoming Presence of Breath workshop. And I just want to let you know that in addition to The Conscious Parent, Dr. Shefali also has kind of an audio book out, and it's called A Call to Conscious Parenting. And I would like to offer the first three people who email me at marie@namastepublishing.com. I will arrange for an audio download for you to be given to you for free. So if you would like to hear the audiobook, A Call to Conscious Parenting, it is kind of a precursor to the actual book, The Conscious Parent, which comes out in October, then please do email me, Marie, M-A-R-I-E, at namastepublishing.com. The first three people to email me will receive an audio download of A Call to Conscious Parenting. So I'm hoping that area code 603 is Judith. Hi, Judith.
Hi there. Yes, you're right. I'm here.
Oh, goodness. We've had so many silly prank calls today. glad it's you. So how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying a beautiful summer day here in New Hampshire.
Oh, wonderful. Well, you're coming here to Vancouver to do a
I am.
Workshop. And so I wanted you to tell us about that. What's this going to be all about?
Well, it's about transforming your life with your breath. So it's a very self-empowering week. It's a week-long program and a beautiful retreat about an hour outside of Vancouver. And there's kind of a multi-level experience going on. The beginning of the week is about just getting to know your breath, opening it, learning how you can energize yourself and literally heal problems in your body through breathing and oxygen, and give yourselves more energy, because breathing is really our main source of energy. And then the second phase of the week is about using the breath for emotional and mental integration, to be able to go inside and go deep, allow the breath to access the subconscious and transform patterns in the subconscious through the energy of the breath. And it's kind of mysterious to me how that works, but when people start breathing, they go on this inner journey and just tap into a lot of their past and have the opportunity to heal and integrate it through the breathing. And the result of that integration creates a beautiful opening to their spiritual essence or spiritual expression. So kind of the reward after the physicality of opening your breath and the journey into our emotional bodies is just being able to embrace and experience our spiritual nature more and feel free to express it better.
So, Judith, it's a week-long retreat. I didn't realize it was a week-long. So what are the dates, and are people going to show up, or do they stay there, or how does it work?
Sure. This particular one, the one in Vancouver, it begins on Sunday night and ends on Friday afternoon. So it's 6 days overall, but if you've compacted it all together, it's actually 5 days of program. And it's a retreat center. We have actually just limited space by the size of the center. So this first one, and I believe we actually just have two spaces left. But I also feel this is just the beginning of wonderful things in the Vancouver area. The weekend that you spoke of, combining the presence or focusing on the presence of breath, is something we're going to do in November, featuring the work of Michael Brown and the Presence Process, which is one of your main authors, and bringing the Presence Process and Transformational Breath together to create unbelievable shifts and ability to get more present and to journey that way. So that'll be in November in San Diego, and hopefully going to take that program on the road all over. So those are the two main things that are happening on the West Coast right now.
And so, Judith, for the dates of the, you said it's Sunday through Friday for the week-long retreat, and I'm wondering, what is the start date? It's in September?
Yes, you know what? Normally it's Sunday, but I believe we're starting this one on a Saturday. So it would be the 6th of September coming up through the 11th. So those are our dates, 6th through the 11th. So I believe it starts on a Saturday and goes through Thursday. Normally it's Sunday through Friday, but we did this one a little differently.
And is the location private until you sign up, or can you?
It is, but I believe I could mention it because some people may know about it. I think it's called Stowe Lake Farm, and it's just a beautiful retreat space in the country. And when you breathe, you open up so much, so we really like to try to plan it around places in nature where we can just open up to more natural setting and energies. So it'll be there, and wonderful food.
And Judith, if people would like to sign up for this retreat, how can they do that?
They could actually contact us through our website, and we could forward them to the organizer, or they could go on our website, and under the training, listing under trainings, they'll see the Vancouver date and program, and they'll contact the organizer, a man named Dale Joyel, and they could register directly with him.
Okay, and can you give us your website, please?
Sure. It's I think the easiest one to remember is breathe2000.com, B-R-E-A-T-H-E, 2000.com.
And then they'll be able to find retreats and workshops on.
Yes, to go under the training programs and look under seminars, and there will be. And I'm also going to be doing a couple evening workshops. So if people just, you know, don't want to make that huge commitment to begin with, there's going to be a couple evening workshops that are also listed under the on the website under workshops, and Dale is also organizing those. So if you want to just come and hear about transformational breath and experience a taste of that journey with your breath. But one thing I just love to say is that everyone is so amazed at how powerful our breath is, and it's because it really allows us to access our own life force and free it up. And we have unlimited energy available to us, but it gets all stuck inside of us, and the breath is really the doorway to that energy. And so it's so exciting to share that with people.
Beautiful. So, Judith, the evening workshops will also be in Vancouver?
They will be in Vancouver proper, downtown. I'm trying to think of the name of the center, he said, but they'll be right downtown Vancouver. So that will be a way for people to experience it and then see where they might want to go from there. We do have practitioners in the Vancouver area, so if they miss me on my trip there, then they can follow through with their workshops and also their individual sessions, their private sessions.
Wonderful. And again, the website is breathe2000, so 2000.
Yes,
breathe2000.com if you would like to sign up either for the week-long
yes.
retreat.
Or just see what we're about, get some more information, get a feel of what we're doing. It's phenomenal. We're all over the world now, and people are really feeling that inner call to do the work, the peace that you can only do through your breath, with your breath. And we're so blessed to have transformational breath, which accesses and deals with all the levels, the physical, the mental, emotional, and the spiritual, all in one package. So people are always so happy to be able to experience that. And in an hour, amazing things can happen. So
wonderful. Well, Judith Kravitz from the Transformational Breath Foundation.
All right, Maria, I hope you can join us and come and be
in
experience.
I hope so, too.
I would love to meet you.
Two spots left.
Well, for the week, but come to the workshop, and well, you know, I'm a stretcher. I could say, well, we could go one more for sure. You know?
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us, Judith.
Thank you, and
wonderful.
I can't wait to meet your beautiful city. I've heard so much about it.
Oh, it's beautiful here. Thank you so much. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. You too. Looking
Bye-bye.
Forward to seeing you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judith. Bye-bye. And actually, Judith Kravitz did a show with us on Namaste Radio. She talked about transformational breath as well. So if you are listening on Blog Talk and you would like to search the Namaste Radio page, you can find her interview and her show about transformational breath if you're interested in finding out more about that. So I want to thank our guests, Dr. Shefali, as well as Judith Kravitz, and thank you so much for being with us. Again, the first three people who email Marie at namastepublishing.com will receive a free audio download of A Call to Conscious Parenting. Not exactly the same as the book, The Conscious Parent, but it's kind of an introduction to conscious parenting. And if you're interested in learning all about how to be a conscious parent, please do pre-order the book, The Conscious Parent. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a wonderful day. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.